Okay, if you will, open your Bibles and turn to the book of Luke, chapter 22. We're going to look a little bit this morning at Peter and something that God did in Peter's life. If you remember Peter, he was a man that had great courage. He was a man that seemed to be the first to go when there was trouble. He was quick to draw. He walked out on the water. Can you imagine when he got back in the boat? I mean, these were just guys. I know they were the disciples, but can you imagine the conversation they had? You know, wow, did you see that guy? He's crazy. Peter, what are you thinking? You really did that. Can you believe you walked on water? You know, I wouldn't have done that. I can just hear him. Wow, he had some guts to him. You know, and Peter heard that. No doubt when they got back and got off the boat back on the shore, they were telling that story to people. I mean, it made it to us, didn't it? So the word was out that, wow, Peter's a man of great courage. You know, when they came and grabbed Jesus, Peter was the one that drew his sword and cut off the soldier's ear. You know, he was a man of great strength, great fire. I mean, he had a fire inside. No doubt he was the first one to the battle. So let's look at Peter, chapter 22. The Lord, this is at the Lord's Supper, and Jesus had something to say to Peter during this interchange. So it's 22, I'm going to start on verse 31. It says, "And the Lord said, Simon, Simon, behold, Satan hath desired to have you, that he may sift you as wheat. But I have prayed for thee, that thy faith fail not. When thou art converted, strengthen thy brethren." So Jesus said, "I've prayed for thee." Now, that translates into, "I've made intercession for thee." In other words, I've made intercession to the Lord for thee. Now, we need Jesus to make intercession for us. When we were born, there was a great gulf between us and God. That gulf was bridged by Calvary, by the cross. That's all that's necessary to give us access to God. When Jesus died on the cross, the veil of the temple was rent. That separation between us and God was now torn. And now we have access to God. And the only access to God is through Jesus Christ and that cross on Calvary. The blood that He shed, that was the ultimate sacrifice. Now that's not trivial because people are still trying to get to God through the saints, through priests, through rituals, through acts of good, you name it. People are still trying to take those many paths to God that don't exist. There's only one path. The Bible was very clear about that. Now, in verse 32, Jesus makes another statement in that verse. He says, "When thou art converted, strengthen thy brethren." Now, converted is translated as, "When thou hast turned back to me." So where's Peter going? And Peter knows this translation. He understands what Jesus is saying to him. What do you mean when I'm converted? I'm here. I've been here. You know, I'm the one that was fighting right by your side, Jesus. What do you mean when I'm converted? So Peter, of course, has to respond to Jesus and the challenge that he'd just given him. In verse 33, Peter says, "And he said unto him, Lord, I am ready to go with thee, both into prison and to death." In other words, Peter says, "Hey, I'm already a full person here. I'm ready to fight for you. I'm the strong one out of this group." He says, "I'm ready to go. Let's take this thing on, head on." So we'll find out that Jesus knew something about Peter that Peter didn't know about himself. And he'd already got to believing that he had the strength inside him that couldn't fail. So, in verse 32 it also says, "When thou art converted, strengthen thy brethren." Jesus is saying to him there, "I've got something for you to do. You're going to have to go through something to do what I've got for you to do." So, right now, Peter is about to embark on what I'm going to call a truth point. He's about to learn something about himself. And Jesus knew this was coming. You know, if how many of you guys raise your hand if you think you could go out tomorrow and just take off and run a marathon? I'm not talking about winning, I mean just run it. And what? No hands. That's wow. What is that, about 16 miles? What about a half marathon? Okay, what about 2 miles? All right. So we know ourselves here. I was at a kind of a family gathering one day, and one of the they were picking at each other about one of them was old and the other one was out of shape and so forth. And one of the ladies said, yeah, I could run a mile, no problem. So, you know, I'm just listening to this thing, because, you know, I just kind of lay back and listen to people. And they said, okay, I'll take that. So, you know, at some later date, they were talking about it later, but they put her on a treadmill. And, you know, she didn't really exercise or anything. She just knew that a mile's not much. I can do that. Have you ever tried that after, you know, not really being in shape? A mile's a long way. You know, you're coughing up a lung after just about 3 minutes. So you got to condition yourself. Well, she ran into what you'd call a truth point there. I mean, that's learning the hard way, right? You got to get into something and figure some things out about yourself. And just because it sounds easy doesn't make it easy. So, you know, there's a lot of things that we don't know about ourselves. And we run into these things that I'll call truth points. And I say we should kind of seek these things out in our lives, because it helps us. It helps us when we see ourselves the way that we really are, so we can address some issues. It makes us stronger. We do this thing where I work called PRS. Performance rating system. All right. How many of y'all have to go through something like that? Okay. Well, not many, but you should get to be on both sides of that deal. Giving the ratings and receiving the ratings. It's quite an experience. You know, it's amazing how you can be giving someone a rating and giving them their performance, and they're just totally delusional about the things you're saying to them. You know, it's, Because I'm from the school of, you just got to say the hard thing because you got to help people. So I just tell them, you know, the way I see it. And sometimes they're just floored. Like, you're the first person that's ever said this to me. You know, how can you say that? Had one the other day, you know, he said, well, that's just not the case. He said, you know, give me examples. I was ready for that. I gave him about 6. Oh, those are pretty good examples, is what he says. So, you know, I had an interaction the other day with one of my senior leadership, and he and I were having we were kind of butting heads a little bit. So we went and closed the door, and you know, we've been working together for years, so y'all don't think that I talk this way to everybody, but basically I said, you know, you're really a jerk. You really come across as a jerk to a lot of people. He says, you know what? That may be true, but you're a big baby. So about 10 minutes later in that conversation, we both figured out that we were both right. And those words just rung in my head. Big baby, big baby. And I'm thinking, God, I'm really a big baby. You know, that hurt. That really hurt. But that was a truth point. It's a truth point. It's something I can use to grow and to do something with. And we just have to go through those things. You know, Brother King gives us truth points all the time. You know, he preaches the Bible just the way it is. And you've got a choice what you can do with that word. You can either get angry, you can leave, you can go find a church that's nicer to you. Or you can take those hard truths and you can apply them. And that's where you're going to get your help. That's where you're going to grow as a person. You know, your spouse probably gives you truth points all the time, don't they? Oh. So what is it about the truth point that's so valuable? You know, you can take these truths and you can go off and you can cry. You can realize you're guilty of this certain thing that's wrong with you. And if you just go do that and you go right back to your old ways and you don't learn from it, then that's pretty sad, right? Right. So as we grow as people and we mature as people, and as we try to get more Christ-like, what we are to do is to take these truths that people give us, and it usually comes from the people who love us, or the people who care about us. We take these truths and we try to do something with them. We try to grow from them. So You know, it really hurts to know the truth. Let's go over in verse 54 in the same chapter. Okay, this is where Peter got his truth point. It says, "Then they took him and led him and brought him into the high priest's house, and Peter followed afar off." You know, they had grabbed Jesus at this point, and Peter, just in a few verses before, had said, "You know, Lord, I'm ready to go. Let's go. I'm ready to go with you to death, as a matter of fact." Now, when they took Jesus, Peter was found afar off. It turns out Peter was a coward. You know, this strong, physically strong, aggressive, physically aggressive, you know, would jump off a cliff if for the Lord and risk his own life. Peter found out he was a coward. Now, it was important for him to know this about himself. You know, some of you guys who have been at this church for a while, you know that I guess it was back in 98, I left the church to go work in Texas. I was enticed to do that career-wise. It was a very smart career move. It was something that benefited me. I went and learned some things there, and I learned personally a lot of things, probably more than I did professionally. But, you know, I learned what was important between personal and professional, I guess. You know, family is more important than position. You know, I learned some things that don't give up things that matter for things that don't matter. That's the way I can sum it up. So, you know, I did that for 2 years, and, you know, whether it was a mistake or not, I don't know. I had to go through that truth point. I had to learn that thing, and it's benefited me a great deal, because in my company right now, there's a lot of things going on in Texas. And I've had no less than 6 calls recently because people are leaving Marietta and going there. And, you know, people that know me, and they're saying, "Hey, we need you here, we need you there," and a lot of really good opportunities. I don't even blink. And I say, "No, I'm not going. I'm sorry, I'm not going. That's not what I'm about. "Yeah, but you could get your next promotion, you know, today." "Well, then I'll get it some other day, or I won't get it at all. I'm just not going. It's just not an option. There's no draw that attracts me at this point." Well, it was much better in the grand scheme of things for me to learn that lesson as a, I guess, 24, 25-year-old single man, young man, than a 37-year-old, been married 10 years, 2 kids, adult. So, you know, that was a good thing, right? It was a truth point. It's something that I don't have to waver on. It's something that's ingrained in me, and it's just not a question anymore. I'd hate to be arguing with my wife right now about whether we were going or not, because it wouldn't be the right thing. So it's very clear to me that's something that the Lord taught me early so that I would be stronger later. And I know all of you have examples of that in your lives. So let's go ahead and read in verse 55. It says, "When they had kindled a fire in the midst of the hall and were set down together, Peter sat down among them. But a certain maid beheld him as he sat by the fire and earnestly looked upon him and said, 'This man was also with him.' She knew that she'd seen Peter with Jesus. And he denied him, saying, 'Woman, I know him not.' And after a little while, another saw him and said, 'Thou art also of them.' And Peter said, 'Man, I am not.' And about the space of 1 hour, after another confidently affirmed, saying, 'Of a truth, this fellow was with him, for he is a Galilean.' And Peter said, 'Man, I know him not. What thou sayest?' And immediately, while he yet spake, the cock crew. And the Lord turned and looked upon Peter. And Peter remembered the word of the Lord, how he hath said unto him, 'Before the cock crow, thou shalt deny me thrice.' And Peter went out and wept bitterly." Now, this was a truth point in Peter's life. He learned that he was the worst kind of coward. Everything that he was committed to, everything that he had left, everything that he believed in, he had just betrayed. for what? I mean, what was it that he was trading his... I don't think he was scared to die because he had already proven he was willing to, you know, step off a boat into a storm, into stormy water. There was something that Peter was a coward about that he had to find out. And I'm not going to fully guess what that was. Well, I'll take a shot, but I may be wrong because this is just my guess. But I think there was something about Peter that his position in the community or his the way people saw him, I think there was some internal thing that he was hanging on to that was important for him to keep a certain reputation or whatever it was that he wasn't able to give up here. And I'm going to strengthen that a little bit later when we talk about what the purpose Lord had for Peter was. But Peter, there was something he was still hanging on to that kept him from going forward with Christ like he believed he would, even unto death. So Peter had failed at this point. It shows here that he went off and he wept bitterly. And that's a good reaction to something that he had done. But if he had just stayed there and he had just wallowed in that pity and in that failure, he would have not grown. He would have not been able to do what Jesus told him to do, which was to go strengthen the brethren after he was converted. After he was converted doesn't mean after he was saved. Remember, it means after he was turned back to him. So this was Peter, when he denied Christ, this was Peter turning away from God. And the Lord had already said that you're going to come back. And when you do come back, you're going to have a job. So let's look at... the book of Acts, chapter 10. Chapter 10, verse 11. Now, Peter was a Jew. And at this time, the gospel was going out and the Lord was touching across racial and ethnic and positional boundaries. Lord came to seek and to save those who were lost. He was no respecter of persons. He didn't care if you were a Samaritan, if you were a Jew, if you were a Gentile, if you were a tax collector, if you were a ruler, if you were a man that had authority over many, and if you could tell people to go and come as you pleased, or if you were a leper at a gate. Jesus had no qualms. He saw people. He didn't see position. Now, Jesus was the only one that way. Everyone else, just like we are around Jesus, saw position. They saw categories. They saw classes. They saw race, just like we do. So the gospel couldn't be left in the box that it was in. It needed to be spread out among all those different classes. Well, someone had to be the trigger for that. Now, Jesus has been crucified at this point. The Lord needed someone that had some guts about him to go do this. Now, Peter had learned through his truth point earlier that he was a coward. Now, once you've been through a truth point and you've strengthened yourself in that area and you've made some resolutions to yourself that never again will I make that mistake. Now, that's someone that has a resolve that can really take something forward. Now, Peter as a Jew, the Lord needed someone out of the Jewish side to reach the Gentiles. He chose Peter to do that. Now, this is the job that I believe Jesus had for Peter when he says, once you're converted, strengthen the brethren. Now, if you start in Acts chapter 10, verse 11, there's a vision that Peter saw. The Lord sent Peter a vision. And it says, and he saw heaven opened and a certain vessel descending unto him, as it had been a great sheet knit at the four corners and let down to the earth, wherein were all manner of four-footed beasts of the earth and wild beasts and creeping things and fowls of the air. And there came a voice to him, "Rise, Peter, kill and eat." And Peter said, "No, not so, Lord, for I have never eaten anything that is uncommon or unclean." See, there was a position, a tradition that Peter had been taught all his life by the Jewish law. You're not to eat something that's unclean. I have dealings with a gentleman who is Muslim. And he had sent one of his workers out to grab him some lunch one day. And the gentleman came back and just, you know, threw the fast food bag on his desk. And he opens up the carton and he takes a bite. And he didn't even get the bite all the way crunched down. And just this total look of disgust came on his face. And he put the sandwich down and he says, "You got bacon on my burger. You know I don't eat bacon." And the young man was standing there he just thought it was funny. You know, cause, you know, that's just ridiculous, right? But what I saw in that guy's eyes was something that was so deep and so ingrained. It wasn't just bacon to him. It was something very, very at his core. I mean, he was just disgusted. Well, that's what we're talking about here. This is a law where Peter had grown up thinking, that is unclean. You don't touch that. You don't eat that. Well, the Lord is giving him a vision that says, anything, Peter's saying that I have never eaten anything that is common or unclean. In verse 15 it says, "And the voice spake unto him again the second time, what God hath cleansed, let no man, what God hath cleansed, that call thou not common. This was done thrice." It took three times for Peter. "And the vessel was received up again into heaven. Now while Peter doubted in himself what this vision which had been seen should mean, behold, the men which were sent from him, from Cornelius, had made an inquiry for him in Simon's house and stood before the gate." See, what's happening here, earlier in the story, God had sent this group of Gentiles to Peter. He told these Gentiles that Peter has something for you. And while the Gentiles are on their way to Peter, God's preparing Peter through a vision to receive them. So, you know, that's kind of the way God works. He just puts everything in motion right on time. So, in the meantime, God's saying that it's okay to eat these things that you believe are unclean. And the message he was really sending here is that, Peter, the meat, these animals are not unclean, and these Gentiles that are about to knock on your door are also not unclean. They also get to receive the gospel just like the Jews do. So I'm running out of time, but I'm gonna jump ahead a little bit because I hope you guys are following me. But what happened is the Gentile men came into Peter. Peter received them, and they had basically a service. And the Holy Spirit descended on them and blessed them. And it confirmed to Peter the vision that God had shown. So Peter is now convinced that it's okay for the gospel to go out to the Gentiles. And if you look over in verse 20, it says, "Arise therefore and get thee down, and go with them, doubting nothing, for I have sent them." Now, that statement to me, doubting nothing, is very important. Because God was tapping into the resolve that Peter had inside him now that he had been through his truth point. God was saying, this is something you can stand on. You can stand on with all your strength and you can fight for. Because it was going to be necessary in later chapters for Peter to fight on behalf of the Gentiles, because the Jews were not going to receive this just because Peter said so. Peter is going to have to really testify and really lay himself out there. That thing that he wasn't willing to give up when they came and grabbed Jesus, that thing that he was afraid of, or that whatever that was, that position in society or whatever it was that made him a coward that day, that thing couldn't be there anymore. Because he had to stand before the religious men, the councils, the elderly, and he had to say, this is right, and I know it, and I'll stand on this. And that's exactly what he did. So, God had really made a transition in Peter's life. And he did it through telling him the truth, making him live through an experience that he had to go through so that he could gain strength and resolve. Now, as you're going through things, and as you're getting your feelings hurt, as you're getting your feelings hurt from your spouse or your boss or your pastor or whoever it is that's taking you through a truth point, the best you can do is take that information, internalize it, and grow from it. Don't just ball up in the corner in a delusion. Don't get bitter. You know, make yourself better. And do what God wants you to do with that experience. Because if God has something for you to do, I believe enough in His providence that you're going to do it at some point. So, you know, I've heard the old expression that if you don't pass that test, you get to take it again. You're going to do that thing. You're going to get that strength. You're going to mature to that point. God's going to make you Christ-like. He's going to get you where you need to be to achieve that goal. So use those truth points so that you don't have to learn them over and over and over. Because I can't imagine if Peter had taken this test and failed it, what the Lord would have had to have done to get him to this point where he could get the gospel out to the Gentiles. So I'll leave you with one more thought. There was a little boy that was walking through his backyard, and he had a bat and a ball, and he'd throw the ball up and he'd swing it, and he says, "Strike one, I'm the greatest batter in the world." And he took a few more steps and he'd throw it up, and he took another strike, missed it again, says, "Strike two, I'm the greatest batter in the world." He goes for the third one, throws it up, misses it, says, "Strike three. Wow, I'm the greatest pitcher in the world." I think a lot of times that's the way we see ourselves, right? No matter what God's trying to say to us, no matter what the situation really is, no matter what the truth point is there that we're trying to learn, we prefer to sit in our delusion. We prefer to not move forward because it's comfortable for us. We prefer to not take the courage and do the next thing. But that's not what God wants for us. He wants much greater things for us. So I encourage you to look for those truth points in your life. I encourage you to use them like Peter did and gain strength from them. Amen.